Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and as I said before the break, we have an important development in the last few minutes on a story that may have raised your eyebrows from the front page of the New York Times today. Verizon has now decided to reverse its policy that prevented people from getting text messages that they had signed up for from NARAL, the abortion rights group. And we will talk about this now and its implications for the larger issue of net neutrality on the Internet with Siva Vaidyanathan, Associate Professor of Media Studies and Law at the University of Virginia. Siva, welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me on again.
So what did Verizon do here originally?
Verizon apparently had a policy in place for some time that allowed it to determine what sorts of text messages would be sent. And they were worried about controversial text messages. And what they mean by controversial, it turns out, according to their new statement, was not necessarily politically controversial subjects. But they're saying now in today's release that they had this policy in place as a way of protecting children, which is, of course, one of the one of the important aspects of any sort of policy here. But
and something you can hang almost anything on. We all want to protect our children.
But in this case, they were really worried about pornography reaching children through text messages and hate speech reaching people, anybody through through text messages. So,
and would those things still be blocked?
You know, it's unclear what they're saying, although from this statement, the statement says that the old policy was developed before text messaging protections such as spam filters adequately protected customers from unwanted messages. So apparently the statement is claiming that spam filters do actually protect us from unwanted messages, which I think is news to both you and me.
Right. They call this a dusty policy.
The notion of text spam, SMS spam, is not something that we've really had to confront yet. One of the reasons that I think people are gravitating toward message services like texting or IM messaging on computers or using Facebook or MySpace for messaging is that, unlike email, you tend to actually have a pretty spam-free environment. So I'm actually surprised that there was even this policy in the first place.
The Times article said this has implications for the larger issue of net neutrality, whether Internet service providers can block our access to certain websites or slow our access to certain websites and favor others. But this is about text messages and our cell phones. Does it really have implications for the larger net neutrality debate?
Not directly. It has implications for our general first principles of what our media policy should be all about. If our media policies are supposed to be geared toward promoting political speech and facilitating political speech, which I think that, you know, political philosophers and legal historians would all agree that that's actually what the First Amendment was all about, and not that this is a First Amendment issue, but those values emanate from that early Republican principle, that our media policies are supposed to actually do all they can to increase political speech in this country, and if they happen to do all they can to minimize child pornography, all the better. But really, you know, one of the first principles we've been operating under for more than a century here in this country is that that political speech should be something encouraged and facilitated. That's one of the reasons that for centuries our postal rates have been adjusted to allow for small magazines to distribute their message, regardless of political perspective, with a pretty substantial postal subsidy. And of course, that's gone now too. So it seems like media policy in general is being shifted to ignore the fact that political speech is supposed to be at the root of so much of this, and it's more and more being shifted toward the notion that we should facilitate the easiest possible commercial applications.
Right. Without net neutrality, companies, or for that matter, political organizations may buy their way to preferential status, unlike now where you can go to any website in the same way. We just have 30 seconds left, but I don't know if you heard my interview with McCain just there. He admitted he has gone back and forth on the net neutrality issue.
Yeah.
He said it's important to allow equal access on the one hand, but he doesn't want the government messing with the marketplace on the other. Have you followed McCain on this? Surprised by his ambivalence there? 20
I'm
seconds.
I'm not surprised by his ambivalence because it's a very complicated and confusing issue. And for, you know, I mean, regardless of what you think about McCain, he's had a lot to think about in terms of, you know, life or death issues going on, so he may not have followed it too closely. But basically, the net neutrality issue is about whether we're going to have our media policies actually create a level playing field. And in many cases, the senators and congressmen in this country only hear from the lobbyists.
And we have to leave it there. Siva Vaidyanathan from UVA, author of Copyrights and Copy Wrongs. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.